Well, today we're going to continue with our Beatitudes. Dennis, thank you for asking about Wayne. I encourage us to ask about others and to check in on others. Paul and Amy, check in on Cardenases who aren't here today. I just encourage you to reach out to folks that you don't see. Send Lisa Beasy a text. Just say she was missed, even though Bill's here. It's just ways for us to continue to connect with one another and to recognize when we're not here.
So, Paul and Amy, they wanted to come today, but she's watching her sister-in-law's kids. I meant to bring this up in prayer. Her sister-in-law went to the ER for some reason last night, and that's why they're watching their kids. So we can be in prayer for that.
So,
I'll send Amy a text.
Okay, thanks. We're always glad to have guests. In a church this size, guests stick out, and they just do. But Manny, would you like to greet the folks today? Would you just like to share a little bit about you and what brings you here?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me and my brother Mark. Since we've been here, we've just been given nothing but love from all the organizations that we visited. Me and my brother like to think that we came here on assignment from him, following me. We were invited to put an art exhibit together at Thornhill Gallery, and it's no mystery how God works, because art has always been something that I seek for refuge and to quiet my mind, to learn how to be still. And in some of the darkest moments of my life, incarcerated in prison and detoxes and treatment centers, God always gave me that gift to use, I guess, to mold me. And I shared yesterday at a campus, you know, that God uses us, you know, in the deep waters, it's when he's working his greatest craft. And moving forward, you know, 9-10 years later, here I am in another state doing a solo art exhibit, you know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, I am a recovering addict as well. I've been clean and sober 7.5 years. I was plucked from a very, very dark place, 11.5 years in prison, close to 30 years of active addiction, and I stand here, testimony of, you know, what he's done in my life and some of the people that, you know, I work with, basically in a nutshell. And I just published a book January 16th. I'm super excited about that. It's titled From Revolution to Revelations. It's the last 10 years of my life. A lot of my artwork is there, a lot of the thoughts that I had during those moments. And the revelation was that I knew that God had a purpose for me and he had a plan for me. I just had to learn how to listen and be still. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's blessings. So today we continue on talking about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Remember or rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Meekness is a characteristic that we don't really hold in high regard in our world today. from the highest offices in the land to playgrounds and elementary schools. The idea of meekness is seen as weak. It is seen as a trait not worthy of being of inheriting the earth. When you and I talk about meekness, in our culture, meekness is weak. And a weak that's not a weak that we're talking about from Scripture, where when we are weak, Christ is strong. But a weakness that is seen as something that is deplorable, something that is less, something that is soft. The question is, where does true power lie? In our world, people around us are clamoring for power. They're clamoring for position. They want to have that sense of strength and authority. And we're looking for it in all of the wrong places. Is power found in the ability to defeat others with might? Or could it be that power is actually found in the ability to surrender one's life, to a higher call and a higher purpose? Gentleness and meekness. One commentator said the opposite is self-assertiveness and self-interest. So where do we find a true example of what it means to be meek? If the Beatitudes are calling those who are meek blessed, who is it that we can look to as an example of meekness? That isn't weak, that isn't soft, that isn't something that isn't to be modeled after, but something that actually is, in a sense, and this sounds like an oxymoron, heroic meekness. Well, of course, we find that in the life, in the story of Christ. There's no greater example for us to follow when it comes to meekness than the example of Christ. And you don't have to take my words for it, because Scripture tells us. Philippians, Paul says this. He says in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Paul specifically calls out the power of Christ's meekness. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, he says, if there is any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, if there is any compassion, or if there is any sympathy, make my joy complete, Paul says. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. That one we'll have to camp on for a little while. Let each of you not look to your own self-interest, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on to explain what that meant for Jesus. To be the one who was living, exalted above all the earth, the co-creator in the Trinity, the one who was the Logos, the Word of God, the beginning and had always been, in a place of divine authority and in the place of divine respect. He surrendered that office and that place and became a little lower than the angels. He became a human like you and I, born in a manger, dirtying his cloth diapers, learning how to speak. That this divine one, the Son of God, took all of that presence and became like you and I, yet still was fully God. That's the definition of meekness now that Paul is calling us to look at. What does it really mean to live a life that is meek like that? Excuse me. So let me ask you this as we go back to Philippians and as we reflect on this beatitude. Have you ever received something from Jesus Christ? And if so, what have you received? Have you received any encouragement from Jesus? Christ's encouragement comes in our weakest moments. We're being called to be like the one who knew that the most important encouragement comes when we are at our weakest. When we are in our most humble state. When we are in the place that we are the most down and destitute. Christ does not come and offer, "I told you so. Listen to me next time." But instead, he comes to offer us encouragement. That word, to bring courage to us in the midst of our weakness. I wish I was more like Jesus in my own life. I've made this mistake with my own kids. I've made this mistake with people we work with. I've made this mistake far too often. Whether I've said it with my mouth or I've just thought it in my head. When I look at someone in their weakest moment, I think these words, "You should have listened. You should have listened." There's nothing encouraging in that statement. It's a statement that reminds someone else that I am wiser and I am smarter. Nothing about surrendering my self-interest. If you have ever received any encouragement in Jesus, was it encouragement that came when you were at the top of your game, when your devotion life was strong, when prayer was going great, when all the people around you had this sense of respect and awe at your faith? Who needs God's encouragement then? I mean, of course we do. But the reality is if you have ever been encouraged by Jesus, the times that I remember that were the times that I was the lowest, the most empty, the most destitute. And I was surprised when God brought encouragement into my life. I shouldn't have had encouragement, but instead I received it. Have you ever had any consolation or comfort from His love? God's love is unconditional. Understand that. When Paul calls out God's love in this passage, he's not calling out a love that we think of as a superficial love or a Valentine's Day love. He's calling out the love of God that is unconditional, and it is without restraint, it is without restriction, and it was without limitation. God's love is unconditional. We cannot earn it, nor do we need to. It is given freely to us. And His love, this is the power of His love. His love does not ask for anything in return except our acknowledgement of that love. Once He shows us we love Him, we don't have to go climb a mountain. We do not have to crawl on our hands and knees for a mile. We don't have to stand on broken glass. We don't have to do anything to show that we understand that love. All we must do is say, "I receive your love." Far too often, my love is conditional. I want to get something back for my love. I mean, if I love somebody, I want them to love me back, right? That's what we do. Our love, our human love, so often becomes a conditional love. If you love me, do this for me. If you love me, do the right thing. If you love me, give me the right words. Say the right thing. We put conditions on our love, and Paul's challenge to us, and this beatitude calls to us to say, can we actually surrender our lives and be meek as Christ and give love without expecting anything that would satisfy our own needs? Even in God's discipline, His love is perfect. God doesn't discipline us simply because we need to be disciplined. God disciplines us in order to restore us, to bring us to a place where we are restored. And in the most meek moments, in the times when we feel like God is truly disappointed in our lives, He's not doing that because He's ready to shun us. He's doing that because His love calls us back into relationship with Him. Each one of us has been the prodigal. Each one of us has been the son, has been the prodigal son. Each one of us have walked away from God's love, and each one of us has been invited to come back. The doors are open and the party is ready. The table is set. All we have to do is walk back into God's love. It is as constant as the air we breathe. Is there any sharing of the Spirit that you have experienced? Those moments in those quiet times. And I love that idea of when those quiet times come, that we can share in the creativity of God's Spirit. That God is the consummate creator, and then He gifts us with those opportunities to create. In my cleanest, most private, most pure moments with God, I find that photography becomes that space that I can create. Everything else, all the other things of the world have gone away, and I am just in communion with God. I love that God has sent His Spirit to have that relationship with me. If there's any compassion, any sympathy, Paul says this, "Make my joy complete. Be meek. Be humble." One commentator said this, "It is not so much the blessing of one. It is not so much the blessing of the one who is self-controlled. For such complete self-control is beyond our human capacity. Rather," when he talks about meekness, "it is the blessing of one who is completely God-controlled. The meek one is truly controlled by God. And this sense of strong humility and this sense of heroic meekness comes when we are in true surrender to God. It is then," this author says, "in God's service that we find perfect freedom in doing His perfect will." Blessed are the meek. The earth that we inherit is not the earth of power. It is the earth of our Creator. It's not the earth of human institutions. It is the earth of our Beloved. It is not the earth of human authority. It is the earth of biblical submission. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Paul continues on and he closes this passage when he's talking about Jesus. He says, "Make my joy complete and be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." There is a sense of unity that is essential for those of us who are meek. That unity comes because we do not any longer try and promote ourselves over our neighbor or over our friend or our coworker or someone else. We no longer set and bicker with words in order to try and become more important in the eyes of our peers. Instead of meekness causes us to come together in unity because we see each other's values even as we see each other's differences. Can we live in a world that is willing to coexist with people who differ in our opinions and yet realize that we are each created by the same Creator? Can we live in a place in which we understand that to live in equality means not that we have to surrender ourselves, but that we simply do not have to make ourselves better, stronger, faster, or something over and above another? That our security does not come in how others see us, but it comes simply in how our God sees us. This is not idealism. This is what Jesus was talking about in being blessed as one who is meek. The question for this week is, will you have the mind of Christ? The question for us this week is, will we be ones who will truly seek to be meek so that we can inherit the earth that God has created for us and we can inherit the call that God has created for us? If we can truly live out that kind of meekness, we too can be blessed. And we too can inherit the earth. There's a passage that we read in the life skills class every semester, and it's one that we invite the students to take home and hang up on their wall. And it goes this way. Create your own destiny. Watch your thoughts. They will become your words. Watch your words. They will become your actions. And watch your actions. They will become your habits. And watch your habits, because they will become your character. And watch your character, because it will become your destiny. If I wake up every morning and I seek to do the thing that Lee Jost wants, then I will never inherit the earth. But if I wake up each morning and I seek to put on meekness, and in humility, if I choose to listen to what God has called me to do, then freedom is mine. And everything that the earth has set, or that the Lord has set in front of me, is mine. Because I live in harmony with His will. My question is, how will you live that out this week? If these are attributes that we are to seek, how will you live out meekness this week? In your marriage? Your workplace? Will you see the next time you choose not to fight with someone verbally that you are showing weakness? Or will you understand that there is meekness at play that is far stronger than the other can realize? I invite you to live the blessed life this week, and with the meek inherit the earth.